Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. As always, appreciate you joining us and hope that you have been here for the previous episodes, because we're right in the middle of a story. And the story that we're in the middle of is the story of how God orchestrated the gospel message to arrive at the house of a Gentile. Now, I know that might not seem like a big deal, like, okay, Cornelius, he was a Gentile. But John, this is a seminal event in the Word of God.
It is very significant. And because that is so, it is no wonder that God devotes so much scripture to this one event about Cornelius.
Acts 1 and verse 8, Jesus said that his apostles would be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. And the implication there is even to non-Jewish people, to the Gentiles. So we've seen the mushrooming of the gospel in Jerusalem. We saw that in the early chapters, especially as we saw 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved, and then great persecution. We saw Samaria and Philip and the ministry there. But now in Acts 10, we're seeing the gospel go to the Gentile world.
Yes, and we're going to see significantly now, moving through the book of Acts, we're going to see many parts of the Gentile world being touched by the gospel once it gets the door opened up, so to speak, in Acts chapter 10.
So Peter is on the roof. He's seen the vision. He's like scratching his head. What in the world did that mean? But at the same time, he's kind of awakened by the call, the knock at the door, if you will, of the delegation that has come from Caesarea, from Cornelius. And the Bible says in verse 19 of Acts 10, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. So at the same time that they're calling, they're inquiring physically, God is affirming it spiritually, so that Peter will be unable to say, well, that was a coincidence. You know, that, but no, God is saying there are men here. Now, Peter's going to know that. So why would God tell him that? Because I think for the very reason I just cited, because God, there's no wiggle room here. Peter, this is something that God is doing.
And it is interesting to see how God is working in both Peter's heart and Cornelius's heart. And now we're finding that coming to this apex here as these men come to get Peter and they're going to bring him back. But it is great to see the work of God. God is definitely a sovereign God who is providential, who works in our lives.
So Peter is wondering, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And the Lord says, okay, there's three guys here. Okay, I sent them. So I think that's the Lord answering that doubt, that prayer. Okay, Peter, if you want to know what this means, this is what this means. Okay, and then he tells him, look at verse 20. Arise therefore, get thee down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So in the vision, what did God send? He sent the sheep with all these animals, clean and unclean. Eat them. No, I can't eat them. Eat them. I've made them clean. Oh, I can't. Eat them. I've made them clean. What did that mean? What did that mean? The Lord said, there's three guys here. Go with them. Don't doubt anything. I sent them. This is what it means. Okay? This illustration of these men, these Gentiles, okay, this is what I'm talking about.
You know, I think in our life, we see Peter doubting here beyond doubt. He's doubted the vision. You know, what does it mean? He doubted God's command. You know, I know often we call Thomas doubting Thomas. The reality is all the disciples doubted. Peter's doubting now. In our lives, we often have doubts as well. But it's comforting to know that our God loves us and our God will work in our lives and will encourage our faith, will increase our faith. And here Peter has doubted. And Peter should have trusted God, but he didn't. He doubted what God's saying. But God says, look, here's what's going on. You go, don't doubt, just obey. And God works in our life to help us overcome our doubts to walk with, in faith with him.
Yeah. And again, the template or the theme rather that we've seen is the Lord doesn't give him a whole lot of information. He says, okay, don't doubt. And wherever they're going, go with them. So that's it. So yes. When Peter gets down, he wants more information. Because verse 21, Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? What are you doing here? Okay, I'm the guy. And now Peter knows these are the guys that God sent. Why are you here?
Yeah, Peter wants to know what is God doing in his life? Because this has been a very strange vision, very hard for Peter to grasp. He wonders, what is God doing in my life? What are you men wanting? Why did God send you here?
And remember, all of this is going to clarify the vision. So Peter knows that. Peter, okay, why did I see this vision? What about this unclean, clean meat? What's God doing? And now he knows that the men, that this is what God has sent. So whatever they're going to tell him now is going to clarify what the vision was about. So look at verse 22. They said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. So I find it interesting that they chose the verb he was warned of God.
Yes.
You know, so there's a sense of urgency to Cornelius sending the men. And Cornelius, you better do this. This is life saving. This is something that is essential.
You know, I think in life today, even how that the matter of salvation, the matter of Jesus Christ is a very urgent matter. It's not something we can say, well, I'll just put that off and think about it later on. No, the urgency is always, it's every day, it's urgent. What will we do with Christ? Not only to place our faith in him, but then once we are saved, what will we do with Christ today in the way that we live it out? But Christ is never a person that we can just be, you know, laissez-faire about. We have got to be intentional and treat it with utmost importance.
So what does Peter now know? He now knows that Cornelius is this Gentile centurion with a testimony of religious sincerity, and God has sent him. He knows that. And then he also knows that God has told Cornelius, send for Peter. Peter's going to give him words of thee. You're going to give us word. You're going to tell us something. It's interesting. They didn't say, hey, Peter's going to tell you how to be saved or have a relationship with God. He's going to hear words from thee. But Peter knew exactly what that was. It's kind of like the vision that Paul saw in Troas when he saw the Macedonian man that said, come over and help us. Well, that's kind of a nebulous thing, help us. But what did Paul know that meant? That he knew that meant give them the gospel. So what does Peter know that this means? Okay, God said, just come here, come to find you and bring you back. You'll know what to say. That's really what he's saying.
It's exactly right. It reminds us of the importance and the primacy of the gospel in the words we give people. And you're right, Pastor. Peter knew exactly what they were saying because he knew these were the words that mattered most.
And I think this was the aha moment for Peter, because now Peter said, okay, now I get it. I get what the vision was. We'll call it not unclean, because I am now being called to go give the gospel to Gentile people. He got it. He understood it. And the reason why I know that he understood it is his response in the next verse. Because the Bible says in verse 23, then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So the fact is, you know, he received them. He demonstrated hospitality. He had set his face, as it were, to go.
And this would have been quite a decision for Peter to take these Gentiles into his house. As you mentioned earlier, Pastor, you know, the Jewish-Gentile relationship was not at all a close one.
That's right.
And so this was his step of faith, as I'm obeying God.
That's right. I'm receiving that which is, you would never allow a Gentile to lodge with you. This would be socially unacceptable for a Jew. But the fact is, he is receiving the unclean.
Yes.
He's obeying the vision. He gets it. And we see just in this small act of hospitality overnight, he is expressing it. Now remember, this is noontime. They're not going to leave till tomorrow. So by taking them in and lodging them, he's feeding them. He is demonstrating hospitality. They're spending this time together. So it's just an indication to me that Peter is obeying.
And this would have been quite a step of faith for Peter, and quite a testimony that, hey, you know, these Gentiles, I'm going to receive them and I'm going to go with them to speak to Cornelius. This would have been quite a statement to the Jews around there who knew who Peter was.
So the Bible says in verse 24, and the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. So I love Cornelius. I mean, he's just one of my favorite characters in the Bible. So just think about the anticipation of Cornelius. He's heard from God. He loves God. He's sincere about God, but he's not yet saved. He needs the gospel message, and he sent his servants and his trusted soldier down. Now they're coming back, and in the meantime, Cornelius, he just knows something big is going to happen. You know, God is at work here. So he calls all his relatives and his friends. I don't know how many people were there, but I mean, there was probably a large gathering.
I'm sure there was. And I like how the Bible says that Cornelius waited for them. You know, to Cornelius, what he was going to find out was the most urgent matter of his life. It wasn't what was going on in the military right then. It was, what am I going to find out from this man? This is everything to me right now. And he gets all these people together. He wants them to know what he's going to find out. This is a crucial day for him.
And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. And Peter just took him up and saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And I smile at this story, because Cornelius he's not versed. He's sincere, and it's like God sent this vision, go get this guy. And so he just falls down and worships Peter. Peter's like, wait a minute, no, I'm just a man like you are. It's very similar to the response that Paul and Barnabas received later when they were calling them these God, the Roman gods. No, we're just men like you are. But in Cornelius, I just see a man that just didn't know any better.
That's it for sure, Pastor. His culture accepted this. This is what he would have done. And he doesn't know the truth right now, but he does want to know it. And he's just overjoyed to have this messenger from God come to him.
That's right. And Peter is careful to not accept that worship. And herein, I don't want to rabbit trail too much, but I feel like it's important to point this out. Herein is a great teaching, because anytime in the Bible a man was worshiped, he was quick to say, no, I'm a man. And yet when people came and worshiped Jesus, he didn't refuse worship, which tells me that by implication, he was saying, I am God. I receive and deserve your worship.
You know, that is a needed observation, Pastor, because even today, there are people who call themselves Christian theologians who will try to explain away Thomas's exclamation in John when Thomas says to Jesus, my Lord and my God. And I've read some theologians try to say, well, in the heat of the moment, you know, Thomas just exclaimed that, but then
Jesus would
exactly
have denied
right.
it.
That is the point. Jesus accepted it, and that is what is of importance there, is Christ doesn't correct Thomas. He accepts it willingly because Jesus Christ is Lord and God.
We're going to leave you on that cliff, my friends, because next episode we'll talk about The marvelous meeting that Peter and Cornelius shared and the marvelous result of that meeting, a meeting that has reverberations even today. Because if you're a non-Jewish believer in Jesus Christ, and I would assume that most, if not all of you are, then you find your legacy right here in Acts chapter 10. It's an exciting thing. When I take people to Caesarea on my Holy Land trips, we always just take a moment and think about, this is my spiritual heritage. This is where it all began for us as Gentiles, that God loved us, that God sent his son, and then sent people to communicate his son so that we might be saved as well. So I hope that encourages you today, my friends. I pray that you have a great day in the Lord, that you have an opportunity to tell someone about him. Again, thank you for being so faithful. God bless each and every one of you.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.